Welcome to the Spoolcast. Jim Kaubach joins Adam Churchill in this follow-up to his virtual seminar defining a UX design strategy. Jim didn't have time to answer all the questions during the seminar, so we decided to address those remaining questions in this podcast. If you didn't attend the seminar, don't worry. There's plenty here for you, too. And now, here's Adam.
To the Spoolcast. Recently, Jim Kaubach presented a fantastic virtual seminar for our audience. It's called Defining a UX Design Strategy. The recording of this seminar, along with over 175 other UX seminars, are now part of UIE's All You Can Learn. Establishing a realistic strategy is a creative endeavor based on analysis, and it results in a practical plan. Of course, it can also be a frustrating, ambiguous process fueled by unrealistic pipe dreams and personal opinions. So, what characteristics lead to concrete elements that will actually work for your design team? In this seminar, Jim showed how to remove fuzziness from design discussions and inspire consistent action from diverse personalities on your team. In today's podcast, Jim joins us to discuss some of the many great questions that came in from our audience during the seminar. Hey, Jim, thanks for joining us again.
Hi, Adam. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So for those who weren't with us for your awesome seminar, can you give us a bit of an overview on what you shared?
Sure. You know, strategy in and of itself is one of those big fuzzy terms, as you mentioned. It means different things to different people. And I wanted to put my perspective on it. So we started out just by talking about, in general, what strategy is and what it isn't. So I kind of concluded that, you know, with the strategy is a hypothesis about a desired position. It's about a point in the future that you want to occupy, but you don't necessarily know how to get there. It's a hypothesis on where you want to be. It's ultimately a belief about how you're going to succeed and overcome your challenges. So strategy is about overcoming challenges and the choices and the trade-offs you take in order to get there. Right. So a strategy needs to show causality. A big point that I made in the seminar is that it needs to show why you're taking the actions that you're taking and why the streams of analysis that you might have done before the strategy kind of coalesce into a coherent set of decisions. So the perspective that I ultimately offered was that building strategy is a creative exercise to design a way of overcoming key challenges to reach a desired position with an interlocking set of choices for consistency in action. And ultimately, it's about persuading teams to work together and getting everybody paddling in the same direction. That's the perspective I put on that. And then I broke down strategy kind of at that higher level into individual elements of strategy that for in the case of UX strategy, I put together in what I call the UX strategy blueprint, and that's available on my blog or on the UIE blog. There's a PDF of this document. It's a tool that I created to help us create UX strategy, and it's broken down into six elements. What are the challenges? What are your aspirations? What are the focus areas? What are your guiding principles? What are the activities? And finally, what are the measurements? So if we describe strategy with those six elements, we can do it in a consistent way each time. And the tool is there to help you engage in that design activity of generating strategy. It's an exploration of strategy. Once you do that, then you need to communicate strategy. So we talked a little bit about communicating strategy, that it's important that you express a strategy in different ways and you get people engaged in the strategy so they buy in and they believe it. There may be some hurdles and arguments along the way that you need to overcome, particularly from business stakeholders. They may object to some things that you might be trying to do in the strategy or with the strategy. So, you know, some of the arguments that you need to make is that, you know, ultimately strategy is about efficiency. It's about getting everybody on the same page and moving in the same direction. So at a high level, that's kind of what we talked about. And again, I introduced that UX strategy blueprint, which was kind of a centerpiece of my talk.
Very nice. Well, as you recall, we had a very engaged audience and lots of great questions rolled in. This first one came in from a bunch of different people and was asked a few different ways, but ultimately people were thinking about product strategy and wanting to know how product strategy is different than this UX strategy you're talking about.
Right. Well, first off, in terms of the elements of strategy, I think they're the same. As I mentioned, we can describe a product strategy or a UX strategy by the challenges, aspirations, focus areas, principles, activities, and measurements for each. But the real difference is the scope and how you define the boundaries of the strategy. And very often, product strategy and UX strategy are so close that they don't need to be separate. They should be one and the same. And that was the point that Jeff Gotthelf made in his blog post entitled, "There is no such thing as UX strategy." And he believes there is only product strategy. And I agree with that to a large degree. In many cases, that is true, that if you have a good product strategy, it should include the UX strategy. And I might even go, you know, further to say that, you know, at some point, the company strategy should also encompass the UX strategy, right? So there might be so much overlap there that to make UX strategy redundant. But if the product strategy doesn't address the key challenges that the UX team and the UX activities face, then you might need a separate strategy. But also, UX can be defined very broadly and extends beyond just the product experience, right? If we are talking about other touch points in the service experience, right, from sales to customer support, if you're talking about that kind of challenge, let's say you want consistency across all of those touch points, and you may be dealing with the marketing department and the customer support department, a UX strategy may be separate from your product strategy.
So along that line of thinking, once people have created or gone through this process of creating a UX strategy, can it be applied at a product level, or does it end up being a byproduct of that process?
In my experience, if you don't have a strong product strategy or one at all, sometimes it's completely missing, and you do create a UX strategy, it may actually be promoted to that level that if others adopt it, it may actually become the product strategy. But again, there may be a different angle that you're taking with the UX strategy that kind of crosses and goes outside of that product experience.
Dan asked this question. Can designers who work on user experience also become strategists? Do you find that they have the same types of skill sets or the mindset that's required to accomplish both?
Well, I think doing strategy can be taught and anyone can learn it. And that one of my points was to kind of take the mystery out of it and provide a consistent, concrete framework with which anyone can actually create strategy. But not everybody wants to, because I do believe it requires a different mindset than screen designers or people actually creating products and services. I do think it's a different mindset. It's one that needs to be able to think abstractly and also holistically, but there also has to be an attunement to higher order strategies and what's going on outside of the UX team activities. In particular, and I focused in the seminar on that business strategy and how does the UX strategy align to that. But there may be other touch points outside of the UX team that you need to engage with. Not everyone has that mindset or wants to engage in those types of activities. I do think it is a different mindset, but I think it's a mindset that can be taught.
In the seminar, you talked about strategy being hierarchical and that it aligned upwards. Can you say a bit more about what you mean by that?
Sure. Strategy is about choice. And I think Jesse James Garrett explained it well in The Elements of User Experience, his book from, I think it was 2002. And he talks about the ripple effect of decision making from the top down, the way that I see it, that decisions made at a top level open up possibilities or close off possibilities, what can be done below that, right? So if a company makes a strategic choice to target, let's say, large enterprises, they want to have their customers be large enterprises, the UX strategy can't go on and say, we're going to focus on retail customers, right? So, I mean, it's really as simple as that, that you need to stay in the space and align to the decisions that have been made at a level above the UX strategy. Or, you know, in the example from my virtual seminar, if a company chooses to grow aggressively through acquisition, the UX strategy has to honestly acknowledge what the implications of that are on UX design, on product design. And it has to have a strategy that incorporates acquisition and the impact of that into the UX strategy. Right. So again, strategy is about getting everyone paddling in the same direction, and it takes its lead from above. Right. And that's what I mean by hierarchical, and it needs to align upwards.
You talked earlier about the different types of strategies that are in play here, right? Business strategy, product strategy. Is UX strategy dependent upon some of those higher level strategies? How does that work?
Yeah, I think it is for some of those reasons that I just talked out. But it depends on the size and the type of the organization. And I think to some degree, this was Jeff Gotthelf's point, too, that if you're a small startup, let's say, and you have one product or a limited set of products, you know, the product strategy and the UX strategy are probably one and the same. And that might even be one and the same with the business strategy. But if you have a larger organization, you might have a corporate strategy. And then below that, division strategies, if there are larger divisions. Right. Parallel to that, there might be a brand strategy and something like a product portfolio strategy. So if you do have a large organization, you probably are going to have more levels of strategy than in a smaller organization. And it's usually in those situations that you then see a greater need for UX strategy, because what comes with that are also more diverse groups with which you'll have to be interfacing. And they may not be co-located. They may be large in and of themselves. For instance, I mentioned, you know, working with marketing or with customer support. They may be large organizations in and of themselves. And to get a coherent UX strategy that crosses those silos of a larger organization, you can forge a UX strategy and get buy-in from those organizations as well, so that you have consistency in action.
Jim, let's talk about that UX strategy blueprint you shared during the virtual seminar, and was also a highlight of an article that's on the UIE.com website. And we'll make sure that a link to that PDF gets dropped into the post for this podcast. So Kelly had this question. She wanted to run that blueprint format in a workshop that she was running with stakeholders and product owners for a project that's just about to start. What happens when they put too many post-its or items up in that diagram in those six sections that you shared? Your example only had 2 to 3 in each section. What happens there? What's your advice for Kelly?
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to say that it's good that you're doing this at the start of a project or a large initiative, because that's a good time to be thinking about UX strategy. So that's appropriate there. But chances are you will end up with too many post-its initially. And I think that's okay. If we think about creating UX strategy or strategy in general as a design activity, and by that I mean that you need to explore and use your creative muscles to kind of get the best strategy, you are going to have that kind of expansion mode where you're just collecting ideas, where you're going for volume and that kind of thing. And the UX strategy blueprint is a tool to allow you to do that. So you definitely will get too many post-its. And I think that's actually good. That's fine. You want to get all the challenges out, right? Because we want to focus on the key challenges, but you need to identify all of them, and you need to identify them honestly. So get everything out on the blueprint and use it as a tool to collect everyone's thoughts. That'll also help with buy-in, by the way. But then what you need to do is deduplicate the input and then cluster them. So the next thing you want to do is kind of go up a level in abstraction. You can almost always find a bucket or a category that accurately describes a group of post-its. And that's ultimately what you want to then use as a key challenge. For instance, if we're talking about that box in the blueprint, in your final strategy, you don't want to necessarily list all of the initial post-its that you gather in the terms that the folks wrote them. So in the next step, you need to consolidate all of that information. And that also requires negotiation and discussion as well, too. So that's the discussion part. So at first, you want to just collect all the ideas. Then you want to discuss it and boil it down, right? A good strategy should be self-evident and simple. It's kind of the reduction sauce of all of that thought that you gather from a lot of people. And I mentioned in the seminar that a good succinct strategy should fit on about 2 written pages of paper at the most, right? So for a ballpark size, that's the amount of info that's kind of a good target. And again, just think about clustering and grouping things as you go from the one level, from the expansion level down to the consolidation level. And that's really what the UX strategy blueprint is to kind of get it all out first so that there are no stones left unturned later, that somebody says, oh, but we didn't think about, you know, X, Y, and Z later. Get all of it out, then reduce it, get agreement on it, document it, 2 pages or less, or a couple of PowerPoint slides, however you want to do that. And that's how you go from there.
Very cool. Jim, thanks for joining us again.
Okay. Thanks, Adam. It was my pleasure.
To our audience, thanks for listening in and for your support of the UIE Virtual Seminar Program. Goodbye for now.
You can access the recordings of all of our past virtual seminars as part of UIE's All You Can Learn. For more information, visit aycl.uie.com. That's aycl.uie.com. As always, thanks for listening.